Now you know why we're here. So if you have any doubts or reservations, now is the time to say so. No one will think any less of you. Because once you enter this family, there's no getting out.
I want to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'm a guy who does his job. He must be the other guy.
What are you looking at, butthead? Say hi to your mom for me.
Where are you? I'm in a glass case of emotion!
Babies are one of my many areas of expertise. Growing up, I performed my own circumcision.
Let's get started.
All right, it's Chris and Brian. Welcome to the Jones Zone. We are here with Brian Wetzel, owner and operator of House Masters in Lake Wylie, is that?
We cover North and South Carolina. Office is based out of Lake Wylie, York cool. County.
Yeah, so we use Brian and House Masters a lot for our buyers when they need home inspections. So we thought we'd pick his brain a little bit and tell us, kind of give us his story, a little bit of his background, and then tell us what homeowners should be looking for in inspections and different things like that. So Brian, you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely, sure. So originally from Michigan, started off, I moved down here in 2003. Was a licensed electrician back there, moved to the South and realized quickly that the money that I was making from the union electrician up in the North was half as much down in the South. So I couldn't justify doing the same amount of work and for half as much pay. So I went out on my own and got licensed electrician down here. And something that probably a lot of people may not know is when I first moved down here, I scrambled for a job. And so I worked for the sheriff's office in Mecklenburg County.
What'd you do there?
Right at the jail.
Oh.
Yeah.
What years was that?
2004, 5, 6, and 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I worked for DSS shortly after that, okay. So we probably missed each other.
Yeah.
I had to go up there a lot.
Transport officer, so it would take them, you know, from facility to facility. I was in the jail with them, and definitely wasn't a career. My hat's off to law enforcement for sure.
Seriously.
Yeah, okay.
But so anyhow, then I was working part time, and I call it part time, but we worked at the sheriff's office. I worked 15 days a month, 12-hour shifts. So that left 15 days mm-hmm. open for me to do home inspections.
Okay.
My neighbor at the time, he owned a House Master in North Carolina, Charlotte, Gaston County areas. And so I was working with him, and I quickly realized I made more money working half, part-time, doing home inspections than I did at the sheriff's office. So quickly realized that this was my interest to stay in the construction field and not really head off into law enforcement. So I started working with him. And in 2009, I purchased House Masters franchise in York County.
Okay.
So our franchises are basically separated by counties for marketing purposes. So I own the House Master for York County. Which we were allowed to do inspections both North and South Carolina, but that's probably my that's my area basically of what we purchased.
Okay. So what exactly is a home inspection? Like, what do you guys do exactly?
So I went on a program for my my child's school in career day.
Yeah.
And so the best thing that I can do is we're kind of to explain to them, we're kind of a doctor for a house. So okay. You know, you go to the doctor, your arm hurts or something like that, your physician refers you to a specialist in that area, and that's really what a home inspector will do to a home. Is so if you're looking at everything in the home, inspecting it, you know, there's, hey, we're seeing this, you may want to get this checked out. And that's really what a home inspection is entailed. It's more of an educational tool for the homeowner or the buyer. So they're not going in blind, not really knowing exactly what they're buying and how things work. We're one of the few home inspectors in the area that really educate our clients where the main shutoffs are at, where things are, how you operate the thermostat, things like that. So it's more just than just a checklist of what's wrong for a real estate transaction. Although there are inspectors that do that kind of thing, but we've been successful in our business motto is really educating the buyer what they're buying, not so much as what's wrong with the property.
Right.
Do you have to be part of a real estate transaction to get a home inspection? Or?
So no, I actually have, I'm glad you asked that, because I actually do have clients that, I've got one particular that calls me every December around the holidays to get a new home inspection. It's really a good maintenance program. I kind of think that he just likes my company, and it's holiday time.
What's Brian up to? Give old Brian a call.
But yeah, it's getting more and more, I think, where homeowners want to know before something goes
before
wrong.
Before something happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, we see a whole bunch of new construction coming up. Do you guys encourage that people buying new construction homes get home inspections?
Yes, absolutely. So the new construction nowadays, and if anyone is contemplating, should they waste the money or should they spend the money? It's a new construction. It's going to be inspected by the county or the city or whatever. I always respond to them as the new construction boom, it's a numbers game. So just put the numbers together. You have two or three code officials that are working in this area, and then you have thousands and thousands of homes that are all being built by multiple builders across the county. How do they get to every single house when you only have two or three people working for the county? They're not going to do a thorough inspection and catch everything that really you should be caught. It should be caught. So we're finding even in new construction, I had several of them this year where they didn't have the insulation blown into the attic, and they had their CO, their occupancy permit from the county saying everything is good and everything's passed, but there was no insulation blown in. They forgot to call the insulator to blow in insulation. So just that alone, we had an office in Florida. He did an inspection. The house was 10 years old. And it was the single owner, same owner for 10 years.
Yeah.
She had no insulation in the attic. For the last 10 years, her utility bills were skyrocketed, and they didn't know any better to get a home inspection. So,
jeez. So anyone can get one at any time. So should someone that's thinking about putting their home on the market go ahead and get one? Should they be proactive in that?
There's definitely, I would really defer that to the agent that they're working with.
Okay.
There's definitely certain times that they should consider it, by all means, and I'll kind of give you some reasons. But there's certain times of the year in the market that you could sell the house. If you're in a hot market, you could sell a house 2-3 times in a very short period of time. So it really depends on the market scenario. On a slower market, absolutely, I would highly recommend it, because what a lot of people don't understand is once you get in a contract situation where a buyer is put in an offer to purchase, and then they do their home inspection, and then they find out something negative on the house, that let's say it's a structural issue that could be fixed, let's say $1,000, they could fix it. But what happens is you're under that contract. You're under that due diligence. That time frame short is very short, and contractors will raise their fees because they have to meet those deadlines to get the work done and completed before closing. So you're actually paying more as a seller to get those repairs done than it would be if you could shop your contractor and kind of go from there and get things fixed. And it used to be 10-12% higher And I've seen them now because we're so busy and everything. I've seen the quotes 50% or 60% higher on things that would cost $400 or $500. You're now $700, $800, $900, and it's because they can, because they've got so much work coming in. Mm-hmm. They're gonna pick and choose what gets done in that little bit of a time period that you have. So definitely shopping the contractors with the pre-inspection. And another big item is, let's say you have a structural issue that's covered underneath a warranty or a builder's warranty, but it just scares the buyer and they don't wanna go move forward. Right. Now that puts that stigma on your house where it has to come back into the market. Come off and back on.
Update the property disclosure.
And then even if you get the builder to fix it, the first question that a buyer wants to know is, well, why'd the other buyer back out? What's going on with it? What do I not know? We know buyers don't trust sellers, you know, and that's just part of, a seller can get over that hump of the buyer not trusting them by full disclosure, getting somebody reputable coming in and doing a pre-inspection. And then disclosing that.
You mentioned that guy that comes out and gives you a call every year. Do you guys offer any sort of maintenance programs or anything, or is that kind of out of your realm?
No, we actually do. It's the same thing. It's a full inspection all the way through. It's the same inspection. We're looking at the same things, same cost involved. In fact, it should be more expensive because we're not only doing what we're seeing today, but we're also looking back and looking at the changes and saying, okay, this is what it looked like a year ago. This is what it looks like now. Do we really have an issue going on? There's a little bit more time involved in those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some simple things that homeowners should be cognizant of or be aware of or look for in terms of their home deteriorating or, you know, like when I... What are some common things that you guys see, basically?
Sure. I would refer anyone looking to sell their house, go to housemaster.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great website with a lot of things. Not only home maintenance tips, but we also items that home inspectors inspect and how they inspect them. So we've got how-to videos on our website. So it's a great resource for buyers, sellers, and agents that want to educate them to the process of a home inspection. But I'll tell you, our top issues could be anywhere from trusses broken in the attic. Once they're delivered on site and they're building the house, they deliver them, they dump them off the truck, and it's going to happen. One will break, two will break. The goal is to have them repaired. But then as a home inspector, our state is basically says that it's an engineered product. So once that truss breaks and they have to do a site repair, you're now looking at an engineer to detail that repair. So the repair is definitely simple, easy to fix. Usually it's 2x4s or plywood sandwiched between the truss. But it's the documentation is what costs the money. It's getting the engineer to provide that.
We actually had that at a client of ours' house over the summer in the attic.
Hey, can you talk a little bit about radon gas? That's something that all my buyers always ask me. And I have the generic spiel that I give, but...
Odorless.
Don't worry about it.
It's odorless gas.
What's radon gas when people hear that phrase? Is that something they need to be terrified? Or what is all that?
Not terrified, but aware, I would say. Radon is everywhere. It's in our outdoor environment. It's in our indoor environment. It is a colorless, odorless gas. You can't see it. You can't smell it. It comes from the breakdown of uranium that's in the ground. It's in the ground everywhere. What happens is as that breaks down, it lets off radium, which then turns into a radon gas. And what that does is as that's coming up through the earth, it can get filled into pockets of rocky soil. It can pool underneath slabs, basements, large bodies of water. So if you're around the lake in the area, it can actually pool underneath the lake and then seep into the homes on the outsides around the lake.
And it's found in like granite countertops and stuff too, right?
Well, that's a big misconception.
I think it is good.
That's the media that ran with that story.
Okay.
But definitely radon. Radon was in some granite. There's only about four mines that I'm aware of that produced all of the granite across the world. And I think one of those mines may have had a little bit more uranium in that mine as they were getting the granite out of it. But truly, you don't test the actual granite itself. You test the air that it's in. So you're testing the whole house as one.
Okay.
So the first thing that you would do on a house that has radon is air it out. So what happens is the newer houses that we're building, that air exchange that's normally found in a house, we're building them so tight, and then the actual air exchange is a lot less than what it would be in an older house. So somebody who uses their windows a lot, leaves them open, probably never have issue with radon. But it's when you shut the windows, close the house up, and then that's where the radon levels will start to accumulate and creep forward. But it's a simple fix, and that's another thing, is it's a simple fix. If you have elevated radon levels, it's a simple fix. A mitigation system will put a negative pressure on the slab, underneath the slab, and prevent that from building up.
Who tests for radon? I mean, you go to like Lowe's and get a radon kit, or?
Yeah, so my monitor cost about $900. So that's the difference between the little $7.99 or $8.99 radon test that's at Lowe's, where you put it out there in the... and then you have to mail that off to the lab, and you know, and then maybe 6-8 weeks later you'll get a results back. So it's really not conducive to real estate transactions. Water's the same way. Well water, the county of York County will test your well water for free for the homeowner, and it's fine to use in a real estate transaction, but it takes about 8 weeks, 9 weeks, maybe even 10 weeks, depending on how backed up they get, to get reports back. So it's not conducive in that real estate transaction with your dates.
Yeah, getting that done and quick.
But we use a continuous radon monitor. It takes a reading every hour on the hour and then produces a minimum of 48-hour data points for us to look at.
One thing that I noticed is pretty much in every report that I get from you guys, what's up with the loose toilets? Do you guys just chalk that one up automatically, or what's the deal?
Every once in a while we get together as inspectors and say, well, what are we going to do? No, I'm just kidding. Loose toilets is one of the maintenance items that can cause probably the most damage. If you have a toilet that's loose and has compromised the wax seal in the toilet itself, Nobody ever knows that until the subfloor starts rotting. Mm-hmm. And then now you have thousands of dollars in damage when all you had to do is shim the toilet the right way. And it's funny because even in new construction, I found some toilets that were rocking. And you see some of my videos on Facebook. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. new construction, right? Where he just must have had a bad day that day and left the toilet.
Late for dinner.
I gotta get going.
Friday at 4:30.
Yeah.
You mentioned your videos. Where can people find those? Is it housemasters.com, then Facebook?
Housemaster.com is a good resource.
It's Housemaster.
Yep, Housemaster, no S.
Oh, okay. So I always do that.
That's cool. There are multiple Housemasters. But my local office is Lake Wiley SC. housemaster.com, and you can actually book inspections. You can see a lot of you can see my pretty face on there as well. So the videos on Facebook, Brian T. Wetzel is my personal Facebook page. I don't usually use the business Facebook. This is a relationship business, and I build relationships. And so Brian T. Wetzel. And I'll actually post some of my inspection videos on there as well.
I've seen you post videos of you getting up on the roof, man. Is that like an example of you guys going above and beyond, or is that...
Absolutely.
That's not standard, is it?
I'm glad you asked that, because you know, up until last year, we had a little snippet in our standards of practice for South Carolina that says the home inspector shall not walk on the roof. So a lot of home inspectors will kind of use that to say, well, the state tells us not to walk on the roofs. But what they fail to see is that those are minimum standards. And there's also a little snippet in there that says these minimal standards shall not prevent somebody from going above and beyond the standards. And Housemaster, we've always gone above and beyond our standards. Walking the roof is truly the only good indicator of what's really going on it. You can use a drone, you're not going to see the same things as putting your eyes on it. So I've kind of been reserved, you know, when it comes to the drones for roof inspections, because it's great advertisement, it's great, fancy. Everybody looks and says, oh, you got the drone, but on the same token is you're creating that false sense of security from a buyer standpoint, saying that you're going to see everything on the drone. Well, you can. I've got Google Maps that'll show me the same thing that you can on a drone. But it's not going to tell you if there's hail damage. It's not going to tell you certain things on the roof. We try to walk every roof that we possibly can. But there's obviously some limitations. Those third stories that we can't get out a window. We carry 17-foot ladders, so anything above 17-foot is going to be from the ground like a normal inspection would be.
Awesome, man. We're right around the 20-minute mark, so let's have some fun here. What's your... what's kind of the craziest home inspection story that you have that you can share, at least?
there's definitely some crazy ones. I will tell you one of them, and this has caught me off guard a little bit, but one of them, when I was actually still working at the sheriff's office, and I hope he's not listening to this, but I go in to a 9 o'clock inspection. I actually have two of them that I'll share with you. I go into a 9 o'clock inspection, and the seller knew everything. They knew the inspection was going to be at 9 o'clock, and the son had a party the night before. And this is a party that probably, hopefully, knock on wood, 90% of us are not doing.
Yeah.
So when I walked in, there was every drug imaginable out across the counters.
It was the kid? Like a teenage kid or an adult kid?
I knocked on the door, and it's the kid. The owners of the house were out of town.
Oh, I'd kill him.
And the son had the party at the house. So he quickly cleaned up. And, the agent involved, he was so embarrassed because he knew these people personally.
Yeah.
He was so embarrassed and, more importantly, worried because he knew that I worked at the sheriff's
office. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's kind of, it is what it is. But
So do you have to, did you do the inspection then go back and file a...
No, I did the inspection, but I wasn't a sworn officer, so I didn't have to say anything. It's one of those things that it was recreation and, it wasn't my business to be there and that.
I know.
But the other one, real quick, it was 8:30. I showed up to an inspection, and the seller knew that I was coming. I rang the doorbell. nobody comes to the door. I use my super key, which we got access just like realtors do. Come in, and there was a lady and a man on the couch. she was half-heartedly dressed.
Yeah.
And they were intoxicated beyond belief.
Jeez. 8:30 in the morning?
8:30 in the morning. And so
that's from the night before.
I asked her, I said, did they tell us that we were doing the inspection? Today's not a good day. Try tomorrow. Come back tomorrow.
And so, now, were they tenants?
I didn't really get that far, so...
did you come back the next day?
Well, we're booked. We're stopped, so that's not... I told her, that's not really how it works.
Yeah, it works. You can't be drunk at 8:30 in the morning and expect...
So she comes... So I go back to my car, and I'm making phone calls, calling everybody, and she comes stumbling out and fell in the front yard, stumbling out and says, you can do the inspection today.
You can do it!
And I said, Now I think we're gonna have to reschedule. There's no way I'm gonna be in the house in that situation, and I'm not gonna ask them to leave. Yeah, I'm not gonna be the one to say, "Okay, get in your car and leave."
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
No, yeah. We definitely see some crazy things.
We had one of your inspectors find a bat in the attic. Do you find animals a lot? Like, or what's the weirdest thing you've ever found in the attic? Or anything?
Yeah. One thing that the public needs to know is that as a home inspector. It's such a fine line for us to really talk about household pests because we're not licensed. In North Carolina and South Carolina, you have to be licensed to say anything that it's a bat, that it's a squirrel, that it's a raccoon, that there's anything. So it's definitely a fine line that we walk, that we definitely want our clients to know that there's something there. Yeah. But for us to tell them, unless we actually see it running across the attic, we're not allowed to say that it's there or active.
I think ours was dead. It was like, hey, you got a dead bat up there, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't want to get that fixed. All right, last thing that I want to touch on real quick is you're a Michigan guy, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Ohio State game?
I feel like that's the only team to root for, right? Am I wrong?
kind of wrong. So, do you think that that's pretty much the greatest rivalry in sports? Or I mean, let's talk about
Michigan. Absolutely. From my view, he was this short from that last
play. I know. that was double overtime, right? Or no, which play are you talking about? That was in regulation, right?
The last play, that the play before the last.
Yeah, because they got a first down, and then
it was fourth and nine or something like that.
They're going to be playing that play for the next 20 years right before the game.
Are you glad Jim Harbaugh is the coach?
Oh, that's our savior.
Yeah. Well, I heard he's leaving. I heard he's getting enticed to go back to the NFL.
Wow, that's our jive turkey's talking. Yeah. So that's the big word, right?
Jive turkey. He's used that for a couple of years.
Yeah, negotiated better contract.
Now, were you a big Fab Five guy back in the day?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and
which town are you from?
High school. So just south of Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay.
About 20 minutes south of the Monroe area.
Who did they lose to in the championship game that year when Chris Webber called a timeout?
You know, I really don't know what shirt you're wearing. And, you know,
be North Carolina for those listening.
I felt like it was Duke or North Carolina.
Yeah, it was North Carolina. They're the national champs that year. So,
is Webber, do you guys still think of him positively, or did he?
I think so.
All that drama, is it back? Like, what's the latest with that? Like, isn't he banned from the school and stuff? Or?
No, his 10-year ban was up.
Oh, is it?
It's been up for a couple of years now, I think. But he's just it's hard to, you start getting into college sports and trying to figure out, should they be paid? Should they not be paid? Here they are making millions of dollars for the, and yes, they get a free scholarship and a free ride, but there was some students in Michigan that were begging for change for a slice of pizza on Friday night.
Was it Trey Burke complaining about that recently?
Yeah. And, at the end of the day, there's got to be some. If they're bringing in that kind of revenue, our football program in Michigan, it pays for 20, 30 other sports across the whole board. Don't quote me on the numbers. But
there can be a stipend or something.
There's got to be something to keep them from selling tattoos and selling merchandise like Ohio State does.
Yeah, I know. Those guys. Yeah. We're Duke and Tar Heel fans, so it's always it's funny to talk about the rivalry. We had a buddy that grew up. He lives in Alpena. Well, now he lives in somewhere else, but he was in Alpena, Michigan, and he went to Ferris State.
Sure.
Where'd you go to school?
I actually didn't go to school until I got here. I went to Pfeiffer.
Oh, okay.
When as an adult.
So you got into, you were an electrician pretty early.
Yeah, right out of high school. It was a ultimatum with my dad, get a full-time job or go to school.
And
I'm like, I'm not a fan of school right now, so.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. We're probably right at the 30-minute mark. Where can people find you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, office number 803-831-0057. Brian T. Wetzel on Facebook. Cell phone number, I'm always available. That's my goal in this industry, is to educate agents. So whether you're using us or not, 704-297-1109. And then obviously our website has a lot of information on there. It's Lake Wiley, SC. www.housemaster.com.
Cool, man. We'll provide all the links for everybody, and if we don't hear from you before then, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely,
and,
Merry Christmas.
Tell everybody we said, hey, thanks for coming, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
yeah,
bro.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's it. It's been about 29 minutes. I'll edit some of that, and then we'll post it and have it on.